Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing tonight? Episode number 160, Drink Until You podcast. The only podcast that lasts until the last drop. What I'm drinking tonight, right off the bat, I have my sugar-free lemon soda with my Black Bear vodka with a squeeze of lemon juice on the top. Hopefully you have something delicious to drink in front of you. Cheers. I'm actually gulping this down. I'm going to have to get a refill in like a couple of sips. I had to stop the last recording because I burped right in the middle of doing the intro. I figured you guys didn't want to hear that, right? I try to keep those to a minimum. And I really don't edit this podcast. I just have a pause button when I have to go refill my drink or whatever I got to do. So February 14th, 2021, I am recording this on Valentine's Day, probably one of my most hated holidays, if you can call it a holiday. Where did this come from? Where did Valentine's Day come from? That's what I want to know. I don't like the pressure. I don't like the adverts. Every kiss begins with K. I don't like, great, you can spell. That's wonderful. How about being honest? Come get into debt with us. That should be the slogan. I know you're trying to bash him, Chris, but you just gave him free advertisement, you dope. I don't know. Go to K Jewelers. Who gives a shit? I don't care. Buy your loved ones something shiny to show them that you love them. You know, it's just so super. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's superficial. What about the other 364 days a year? You don't care. You don't care about your husband or your wife those days? Why do you have to show it on this day? I'd rather not show it one day out of the year, you know, and give my all 300. Why can't every day be like this, huh? Why is today so special? Why do I got to get you flowers today? You know, what is chocolate? What does that symbolize, man? I don't like it, man. If there was a Scrooge, if, you know, for this holiday like there is for Christmas, I'm definitely that for Valentine's Day. I choose to celebrate Ferris Wheel Day, which is also February 14th. And much like a relationship, it goes round and round. Where it stops, nobody knows. You all know it's true. Stop playing. Stop pretending on your little Facebooks over there. Stop pretending like your relationship's so perfect. I hate this holiday when I'm single. I hate it when I'm in a relationship. I'm just such a Scrooge. That's the only way I can put it. I'm just such a Scrooge about this holiday. I don't like the advertising. I don't like all that stuff. You know, I try to steer away from that. I'm just looking at Google here. You know, got hearts everywhere. It's just all in your face. It's too much. And with that said, being the hypocrite I am, all my drink recommendations tonight are Valentine's Day drink recommendations. Oh boy, I don't know. What are you talking about, Chris? I just don't like it. You know? Like I said, what about all the rest of the days? I think I've made my point. Let's take a drink. It is kind of a cool day, though, to be honest with you, because here in DFW, dude, I've never seen this amount of snow in my life. I've lived here all my life, 35 years, never seen this amount of snow. It's pretty thick on the ground. The dog's loving it. He's going nuts outside. We took our daughter out there for like 3 minutes because it's so damn cold. And, you know, she got pissed off whenever we had to come back in for, you know, she doesn't know. She doesn't know staying out there, you know, she'll get frostbite or whatever's going to happen. And actually, the coldest temperatures I'm seeing. I've heard it's supposed to be -1 with wind chill. It's supposed to be more than that, -8. I've never seen that here. Ever seen that here. So it is kind of unique. It's really strange to look outside and see all the snow packed up on the ground, all the kids running around throwing snowballs at each other. It's kind of cool, man. It's something we don't get here a lot. So, you know, I can deal with this. I can deal with the 1 or 2 days it's going to be like this. It actually might be this way until Wednesday, so we'll see. We might all be just barricaded inside. And my faithful DoorDash, they're not doing any deliveries, and for good reason. But you know who is doing deliveries? I found out today. I was looking on the app. GoPuff does not care about your employees. You're like, get out there in that snow. This man needs ice cream. So yeah, there's GoPuff. DoorDash is doing the responsible thing. Oh, dude, did you guys hear about this? I have to look this up. Not to go a morbid route. I know it is Valentine's Day. Was this a real story, or did I dream this? Did I make it up? DoorDash, Valentine's Day, everything. Just Valentine's Day, just pushed in my face. God, I hate it. I can't wait for this day to be over. DoorDash murder. Did somebody get murdered? Or was that a dream? Dude, I've been watching a lot of, like historical shows with, like, murder. I've been reading a lot of books with, you know, just the brutality of human beings. So I don't know if this actually happened. Woman charged with shooting at DoorDash driver. Oh, yeah, here it is. Two 14-year-olds accused of killing... Oh, God. Mom of three. I can't do this. Never mind. Scratch it. That's fucking horrible, man. Fucking horrible. This world is just... You know, I can't say it's any worse than it used to be. I think it's improved, actually. That's the sad part. You see things like this, and you're like, this is improved from the way it used to be? Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it is. So I'll tell you one of the books I'm into right now. It's called Empire of the Summer Moon. It's all about the Comanche Empire. And I really wanted to write out a whole show so I could talk about this for longer, but... You'll get the abridged version from me right now because, I don't know, this podcast just took a weird turn, so we're going with it. So basically, it's all about the Comanche Empire. It's all about how just brutal and murderous they were. Not even to whites, just before whites got here. You know, just doing the most awful things to other human beings. Which, you know, a lot of times growing up, I romanticized... You know, Native Americans, you know, I felt bad for a lot of them, and for good reason. I'm not saying I shouldn't have felt bad, but I felt bad, you know, you're forced off your land. Genocide is never okay, you know. Well, I don't know. That's hard to say. I can't say genocide's never okay, because if you're killing off Nazis, then I think we'd all be pretty confident in being like, okay, that's a good one, you know. Genocide's never okay, for the most part. Let me put that little, you know... That little note in there. But dude, these people were brutal, and they really came from absolutely nothing. The Comanches did. A lot of what this book is talking about is, you know, they were really uncultured. They had no song, no dance. They were just kind of doing their thing, you know, surviving. And, you know, it was just what changed their whole, I guess, approach to life was the horse. The horse brought over by, I want to say the French or the Spanish. I can't remember. I'm leaning towards Spanish. I'm really trying to go through this book again so I can get all the details. You miss so much. It's like watching a great movie. You know, you miss so much. And then the second time through, you're like, oh man, I can't believe I missed that. That's a huge part to the story. So anyways, what transformed their tribe from basically nothing, just like idiotic... people just surviving, like I said, was the horse. Riding horseback, fighting on horseback, that became their currency eventually, was horses. They would steal horses, you know, they would trade horses. That's really what transformed them into the great superpower. And it's really cool to hear this book too, because a lot of it's like 30 minutes west of Fort Worth, or, you know, 45 minutes south of Dallas, and it's like, holy shit, man, that's where I am. I'm around that area. Like, this stuff was going, it's all concrete now and buildings and stuff, but it's just amazing to hear, you know, how much stuff happened. And I don't like I said, genocide, of, you know, especially peaceful, there were peaceful tribes, there were peaceful Native American tribes. And they didn't deserve what they got. White man came over here and was basically like, well, they're all the same. You know, they're all going to scalp us and fucking scoop our brains out with a spoon. Whatever, you know, propaganda they served up to white people. And I'm not saying none of that happened. Like, this book, it should be called something else. It should be called Humans Are Brutal, Get Over It. You know, because we just all just brutal, brutal people. We all have those crazy thoughts, right? But we don't act on them. I think that's the beautiful thing. That's what makes it amazing, is we all have these crazy thoughts. And the fact that you can walk outside and meet a good person, that's just, that shows some kind of, what do you call it, growth. Some kind of, I can't find the right word right now, evolution, Thank you. That's the word. Somebody was shouting it at me, so it popped in my brain. That shows just some kind of evolution, you know, as we're trying to be decent human beings. It's just amazing with all the thoughts humans have that there are actually good people in this world. But, yeah, dude, the book is so interesting. I highly, highly recommend. It was recommended to me, and I just can't get enough of it. It's just insane. Like I said, especially being from Texas, you know, there's a lot of crazy stories in there. In the opening chapter, they talk about walking up on, you know, a settlement, and they said that, you know, the bodies were in the water, and they were bloated from being in the water, you know, obviously dead. They said they had so many arrows in them, they resembled porcupines, which is just unthinkable. Another way Comanches would kill people, they would roast you over a fire. It was like a torture thing. And you know what? They thought it was honorable. That's the crazy thing. That's the cultural difference. They thought it was honorable to torture who they had captured, you know? And obviously, you know, us coming in and having, you know, our own opinion on that and having standards and rules, and we treat, you know, army officers that we capture a certain way. They get 3 square meals a day and they're not roughed up, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, it's just such a shock to me. It was a shock because of the detail they gave in the book. And, you know, it's, dude, you just got to read it, man. The Comanches were brutal. And I can't think of a better example of the bullies getting bullied, you know, because the Comanches, they were just top dog, man. They were brutal. You didn't want to mess with them. They weren't really conquerors. They didn't, you know, spread their land out and start taking over places. But dude, if you got caught on their land and you weren't supposed to be there, it was bad effing news, dude. And nobody could defeat them for the longest time. The Spanish tried, you know, and they just couldn't do it, even with their armor and their muskets or whatever their guns were, their rifles, everything like that. They couldn't beat them, you know, and it's, I think it was said in the book that one of the last battles the Spaniards had with the Comanches was one of their most brutal defeats. You know, you're just seeing these people who are living wild, like savages, for lack of a better term. And how can you not beat them? It's just embarrassing. You know, we have all this sophistication and technology, advanced technology for back in the day, and you can't take out a group of savages? What the hell is going on? But they were so resourceful. A lot of what they would do, going back to the horses, and I'm skipping around the book all over the place, so to get more of a chronological order to this thing, you might want to read the book. But the way they would fight, you know, oftentimes, you know, bows and arrows from the back, from horseback, which was unheard of at the time. Everybody in the world dismounted to fight, you know, to fight big battles. You dismounted off your horse, you fought on foot, not the Comanches. That's what gave them the advantage. They had the fastest horses, so they could get away. Another tactic that is still used to this day is taking out transportation. So a group of men would ride in on horses, and, you know, they would try to take out the Comanches. They'd see a pack of them, whatever, and Comanches would flee, you know. So they'd give chase, you know, they'd dismount, give chase, and here come the Comanches around the back, and they would just steal their horses, run them off, scare them, and now these men are just deserted in the middle of nowhere. No food, no shelter, they don't know the water sources, you're kind of fucked, which is just a brilliant, it's so weird. The book is so weird because it's like you admire them too, you know, like they are very, very much the bully, and I hate a bully, but they are very, very much the bully, and, but you kind of admire them, too, because they're intelligent, man. They went from being nothing, nobodies, you know, like I said, just surviving, to the most powerful tribe in Texas. The most feared tribe in Texas because of the horrific things they did. You know, not saying the other ones didn't do it, too. The Apaches were bad. They were in long-time conflict with the Comanches. It's just really, really baffling how long they succeeded. How good they were. I mean, when, you know, just taking out a well-trained and well, I don't know, they had a lot of fucking weapons, the Spanish did. So, to skip forward even more, who ended up finally starting to take out the Comanches were the Texas Rangers, actually. Which I didn't know that. They were solely formed to deal with the Native American problem, as the whites would put it. They were formed specifically for that reason, and these were Texans, and they were, they learned a lot from watching what Comanches did. They learned a lot from other tribes that had it out for the Comanches. And they, you know, they learned a lot of tactics. There's one scene that they're explaining in the book that was like, basically there was like a village, and there, you know, there's a tavern, and on the walls were, you know, pieces of sod, you know, squared off pieces of grass. That's what was hanging up on the walls. That's what the roof was made out of. So, you know, Comanches surround this. They know there's a lot of Texas Rangers in there. There's a lot of, you know, bad men that, you know, there's always this back and forth. You did this to us, now we're going to do this to you. So that was the scenario for this. The white man had done something. So Comanches were going to retaliate. Well, the white man was inside this place with the sod on the walls, and it was almost like armor, dude, on the outside, which is just fascinating to me. Because you would never think shooting into sod, like, okay, it's just going to go right through. It's just dirt and grass, right? Well, none of the bullets, you know, from the Comanches, from their rifles, could go through. And actually, it gave the people inside a tactical advantage because they could just poke through the sod to make their little gun holes. And they could, you know, kind of poke an eye hole and take out Comanches and, you know, riding horses. And dude, it's just such a great book. I highly recommend. I've talked about it for 15 minutes now. Yeah, man, it's brutal. I will say that much. It'll give you a little taste of human beings and how ugly and brutal we can be. But with that said, let's take another drink. Cheers, everybody. I gotta get more. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. I had to do grapefruit soda this time with my vodka and a squeeze of lemon, which is not nearly as refreshing and as good as it was. So this is what I got to deal with now. I'm still going to drink it, though. Cheers, everybody. So apparently I was just informed when I went out to the living room that there's supposed to be blackouts. It really sucks that we don't have a fireplace in this apartment, because that would be really nice, man. I would love to have that. Hopefully, I mean, we got a ton of clean blankets. We're just going to bundle up, and I already put Sam's jacket on them. You know, we got all the blankets ready. We got some candles out. We got flashlights, batteries. I guess that's what we're going to have to do. Kind of sucks, man. I don't want to charge your cell phone, right? Or a couple of cell phones if you got them. Anyways, so let's do some drink recommendations. All right, you guys get it. This is from bakersroyal.com. After all that crap I talked on Valentine's Day, we're giving you Valentine's Day drink recommendations, cocktail recommendations. Here's what you're going to need. This one is called the Blushing Kiss Martini. 2 parts gin, 1 part Saint Germain, 1 part grapefruit juice. Ooh, I got grapefruit soda. Grapefruit wedge, 1 sprig of thyme, not thyme, as I said before, like an idiot. Instructions, shake all ingredients with ice and pour through a fine strainer into a chilled martini glass, garnished with grapefruit wedge and thyme sprig into glass. Optional rim glass with grapefruit wedge and stir drink with thyme for an extra kick. I think they're just making me say thyme over and over again. That's from bakersroyal.com. Hoping I'll mess it up. The next one I have for you is polkadotwedding.com. This one is called Haru's Cherry Blossom Cocktail. Why won't this scroll down? What's going on with your website? They have weird measurements on this one. Here's what you're going to need. 57 mils Svedka Cherry, 44 mils Negori Sake, 15 mils cranberry juice, 15 mils peach puree, cherry blossom flower. Sorry for those measurements if you don't speak that language. Mills, milliliters. Method, pour ingredients over ice. Pour ingredients over ice. Vigorously shake, strain, serve straight up in a Cosmo glass, garnish with a cherry and a small flower. That's from polkadotwedding.com. That is Haru's Cherry Blossom Cocktail. The last one I have for you, Easy Pink Moscato Sangria. Ooh, excuse me. This makes 6 servings, apparently. This is from simplywhisked.com. She's kind of cute. Hi, Melissa. Let's see. Where's the recipe? Where's the jump to recipe button? I got to scroll through all this advertisement. There's another one. There's another Valentine's Day. It's over, man. It's over. Here's what you're going to need. Wine opener, cutting board, chef's knife, liquid measuring cup. How to make Moscato Sangria. For a single pitcher, combine 1 bottle of wine, 1/2 cup strawberry-flavored vodka, 2 cups soda, and fresh strawberries. If you don't want strawberry vodka, you can substitute any flavor or plain vodka instead. Chill for at least 1 hour. Serve in glasses filled with ice. That's it? That's the end? Okay, that's for the small batch. Let's go ahead and do the large batch, too. In a large drink dispenser, combine 4 bottles of wine. Woo! 2 cups flavored vodka, 8 cups of soda, and 1 pint of sliced strawberries. You can also substitute 1 bag of frozen sliced strawberries. Chill for at least 1 hour. Serve in glasses filled with ice. I like to also put out an extra bowl of sliced strawberries for garnish since they normally can't come out of drink dispensers. Sounds good. That's simplywhisked.com. That is Easy Pink Moscato Sangria. Was that it? Jump to recipe. Did I get it right? Strawberry flavored vodka? Yeah, I did. Okay. That was the pink Moscato. Haru's cherry blossom was the other one. The blushing kiss martini was the third one. As always, don't drink and drive. Get an Uber. Get a Lyft. You can't go anywhere anyway, right? I mean, you can, but why risk it? The bridges are the worst. You know, thoughts and prayers, by the way. To that it was like a 60 car pileup in Fort Worth the other day, dude, and I saw some video of it, and it's fucking awful. It is really, really awful. Like the FedEx truck that just slammed into the back of another, I think it was another FedEx truck. It's like I know that guy was trying to stop. There's no way he went full speed into the back of that truck, but you just can't stop. You know, it's really horrible, man. I hope all the families are recovering if you made it through. It's awful, man. We don't know how to deal with snow on the ground, ice on the ground. So, with that said, better to sit your ass at home than to get out and risk everybody's life, right? Or your own. Don't drink and drive. Cheers, everybody. All right, so I have actually a YouTube channel for the week. I've been going down the rabbit hole with this, man. It's called Bay Area Transparency. There's something called, I guess it's an audit for police departments. This guy goes through, I don't know the guy's name. He actually reminds me of my buddy from back in the day. I don't know. Have you ever met someone and they just remind you, or you've seen someone, they remind you of like 2 people you know combined? That's what this guy is for me. But it's called Bay Area Transparency. Go check out their YouTube if you haven't already. It's awesome, man. I don't believe in like harassing police officers, you know, going out of your way to just be a dick to them. Like, don't do that. But what this guy is doing is really, really good. He's keeping these officers on their toes. He actually has a great, great knowledge of the law. He has a great knowledge of his rights. And all he does, every video, he just goes to a public parking lot where there might be cop cars, fire trucks, and he just kind of taking pictures and filming, and, you know, here comes the cops, and they make contact with him, and it's teaching me a lot about my rights as a citizen. You know, it's different in every state. Obviously, there's variations of the rights One of the differences being, what was the thing I heard about Texas the other day? I think Texas is pretty liberal. You can be detained. Something like that. You can be detained without committing a crime detained and arrested without committing a crime. So they'll just take you to a holding cell and just really inconvenience the fuck out of you for, you know, however long it takes, a couple of hours to get out of there. So you'll have to miss a day of work or whatever it is. So they got a little bit of power there. But anyways, this Bay Area transparency, man, it's really cool. He'll go and he'll take pictures. Like I said, the cops come out, make contact with him. And he's just acting as if, you know, as a regular citizen, as if he doesn't know the law, just trying to get these cops to slip up and basically not necessarily incriminate themselves, although sometimes they do. They put him in cuffs in one of these videos unlawfully. He didn't commit a crime. They kind of beat the hell out of him for twisting his arm and cuffing him too tight and, you know. it's really eye-opening, and like I said, I don't believe in harassing police officers. That's not the idea behind the channel, but I do believe in holding them accountable. And man, I will tell you, 90% of the videos, the cops do not pass the audit that he's doing, because they're just the power goes to their head. You know, they think, because I got a gun and I got a badge, I can tell you what to do. I can give you directives and you know, you have to listen to them. Well, you don't. I don't have to listen to your directives because you're actually a public servant. And he goes through all this stuff. You know, he plays dumb for a good little bit in the beginning of the video. And then he starts kind of laying it on him like this. See, what you're saying here is wrong. You've illegally detained me. You know, I need to see a superior, and he's getting everybody's badge numbers. And, you know, it's a good thing to happen. Like I said, because we've all seen what's happening on the news, right? And I'm not saying being a police officer is an easy job. It's got to be one of the hardest jobs there is. You don't know if you're going to come home and, you know, and eat dinner with your family that night. Give me one second. So yeah, back to what I was saying. It's a good way to hold cops accountable. And there's been several cops on that channel that have definitely overstepped their boundaries, definitely let the power go to their head. You know, one of the funniest things is to me, and this is just probably me being a guy and being a douchebag, but one of the funniest things to me is when the women cops, they cannot accept. The guys are pretty bad, you know, they got an ego on them, but the women cops, they just cannot accept being wrong. You know, there is this one video, and this bitch was annoying me. So sorry to call her a bitch, but she was kind of being a bitch. She just kept, like, I don't know if you've ever seen anyone talk to you this way or talk to someone else this way. It's just so condescending, like putting their hand up in the air, like open palm, like holding out a five. Sir, at the end of the day, sir. That's what she kept saying. At the end of the day, sir. And he was like, at the end of the day, nothing. You detained me unlawfully. Dude, he was just giving it to her. And he gets a little assy with him. He's like, you be quiet. I'm talking right now. You're a public servant. He does get assy with him. But you know what? They've never had that reality check. So they think they can walk around. And, you know, next time they think about letting that badge go to their head, they might think about Bay Area transparency and be like, you know what? Maybe I don't know everything. And you'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised how many of these cops just don't know the law. And it's, you know, it's easy for all of us to look up. I'm not going to sit here and say I know all of my rights. I don't. But, you know, it's so easy to look up. If you want to know, you can do research and you can find out. But one of the best videos, and this has nothing to do, this is my video of the week. This has nothing to do with Bay Area transparency. Go check him out. He's awesome. I love this guy. He's such a voice of reason, even though he can, you know, he can be an ass, but they're being an ass to him. Anyways, another video, my video of the week is when the cops pulled over, I think she was like a district attorney, and, dude, the look on, you gotta go watch it. The look on the lady's face, she just gets this grin on her face. because she knows that these cops know they fucked up. And they did. So they pull her over. They're like, license and registration, whatever. You know, it's not the whole video. So it's basically them coming back to the car. And they're like, well, we ran the tag and it was, you know, I've never seen a tag not come back before. So it's kind of strange. And she's like, well, and this is a black woman, by the way. She's the first, I don't know where she is. I don't know where this was based. I don't remember. But she's the first black district attorney from where she's from. A black woman, a powerful black woman. And she's the first. And she goes, well, why did you run my plates? And the guy just sheepishly is just like, well, we run plates all the time and it's just a thing we do. And also your windows were tinted a little dark. And dude, the grin this woman gets on her face is, it's not cocky, but it's confident. And she goes, I need to get your cards. And the guy's like, well, I don't have a card, but I can write down my information. And dude, the way he just like, the sound of him clicking his pen to write down his information is just like the sound of defeat. The way he's just like, click, click. It's just like, it's, your job's over, bro. Like, you profiled someone of power and you got caught. You got called out. And to say we run people's plates all the time, like, I don't think that's legal, bro. And she knew it too. And she was like, well, why did you even run my plates? And they're like, oh, well, we run plates all the time. And also the tint on your window is a little dark. And she just kind of, like I said, that confidence. Oh, dude, it's such a great video. That's my video of the week. I'm going to give you a meme of the week and I'm out of here. Let me take another sip. I just refilled this thing. It's going to take me a minute to finish this off. Only podcast that lasts until the last drop. The meme of the week is two dogs. It's just a cartoon drawing. Two dogs sitting in a living room. And it's like four different frames on the picture of them talking. You know, they have the little bubbles to where they're speaking to each other. And one of the dogs says to the other one, hey. You know, they look kind of bored just lazing around the house. I think it's like raining outside. And he's like, hey, you want to hear a joke? And the other one's like, yeah, sure. And the other one goes, knock, knock. And both of the dogs in the next frame go, arr, 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 arr. Dude, that's one of my favorite memes I've ever seen. Did I get it right? A meme and a GIF. I always confuse those two. But yeah, it's one of my favorite memes I've ever seen. Simple to the point, but effective. I love that. Bottoms up, everybody. Drink It Till You Podcast. Thanks for listening. Episode number 160, the only podcast that lasts until the last drop. I'm going to put you on pause for just a second so I can finish this bitch off. One sec. All right, guys, here's my last drop. Bottoms up. And I'll talk to you next week. Stay warm. Stay safe. Don't go driving any iced. Don't go driving over any iced bridges. Better to just stay at home and, you know, be safe with your family. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.